Welcome to The Risk Course, Relationship, Intimacy, Sex, and Communication, the essential 7-week online course for lasting love and sex breakthroughs with relationship experts Christian Peterson and Sonica Tinker, brought to you by The Mankind Project USA.
Hi, and welcome, everybody. We're really thrilled you would join us. Today is the 6th session of the Risk Course, More Better Sex. We are going to be talking about sex today. And thanks for joining us and taking the time.
We're looking forward to being with you on this topic.
Yes, it's a favorite topic of ours, so we're just happy we get to. Before we jump in, here, let me bring us back here in full screen. There we go. Hi, everybody. Hey, welcome to our living room. You can probably see us the same anyways. It's just that now we can see what you can see, which is useful. So before we jump into this week's topic about sex, we'll do a quick review of what we've covered so far, because it's actually really relevant for what we're going to be talking about today, which is more better sex.
So in the first session, if you remember, we talked about committing to feed your full potential and your partner's full potential. So we made a distinction between our potentiality and our actuality, or you could say our essence and our behaviors. And we discussed the power of our words in the creation process and discussed how we can reinforce what we want by being sure to look for more of what we want to see and to speak them into existence. So we're going to actually be touching on that more today here in the subject of sex.
And you'll see as we go through the review that many of the things we've covered, we will be using directly in our topic around sex today. So we're going to include and bring in many of the things we've taught you up till this point. So secondly, we spoke about how to move as quickly as possible from complaint and reaction to creating what you want. And we invited you to turn your don't wants into do wants, as you see on the slide here, and then drop below the forms of your desires to discover the positive feeling experience, which is what you're really wanting underneath. From there, we encourage you to ask the question, well, if I were feeling whatever, connected, free, powerful right now, what would I do? What would I say? So to actually make it actionable and bring it into real life. So you could imagine yourself already having what you want right now. Take an action from that desired feeling right now and hopefully have a different kind of action from that.
And you can certainly do that around sex, right? There's a reason why we want to be sexual. What's the experience we're after? You know, so you can use that to touch into that experience and begin to create from there.
Yeah.
In the third session, we talked about the power of what it is we're making up for affecting our experience, right? The source of our upsets, the source of our breakdowns, and also truthfully, the source of our joy and our love and our connection is what we're making up about what's going on. The quality of our relationship is the quality of our makeups, and the same is true about our sex. The quality of our sex is the quality of what we're making up about sex, about ourselves and our sexuality, about our partners and their sexuality.
Yep. Fourth session, we talked about how to access the gifts in conflict. And we taught you a formula that shows you how to walk from conflict and resentment and, you know, starting out on opposite sides of anything and walk towards actual win-win solutions that take care of what you both want to create. You might remember the model with sort of like a Venn diagram of two circles that we showed you.
Yeah, and the same is true here in sex, right? If you have differing desires in sex, you can use that Venn diagram to come up with where there's overlap in the middle and what you can create together to create a win-win.
Yeah, and often that's the case. You know, like you want sex, I don't, or I want sex and you don't, or I want varied sex, you want the same kind of sex. We start out on what is seemingly opposite positions.
So let's start with what we covered in session one. So this is a really powerful...
Oh, here. Session five.
Session five here. So in the last session, which was really important, right, we explored how to use our inherent energies to generate spark from nothing by playing with feeding and playing with leading and surrendering, playing with this whole masculinity and femininity. So just as we want to interact full potential to full potential with our words and approach, we also want to interact full potential to full potential energetically and in our bodies. So we encourage you to consciously play with that by practicing leading and following at home. And certainly that conversation is also relevant to this whole sexual conversation, right? Which is, how do we meet each other in our full potential sexually?
And you might remember last time, as we had you do the various exercises, that those are also a great prelude to sex, because they get you in your body, they create connection, and they create energy and aliveness and spark and some zest, bring aliveness back in. So they're very well suited as the prelude for what we're going to be talking about today.
So,
I'm too fast on my slides.
On your slides here. So what we're going to start with today actually is connecting you in with your full potential sexual vision. Right? So we're going to actually start by having you get in touch with what that is for you.
So you might remember the power of your words we talked about and your thoughts in supporting you to create more of what you want. So if you want more better sex, you can start by asking yourself, well, what is it you do want to create? If your sex really were exactly how you want it to be, what would that look like?
So we're actually going to start off here with a brief visualization to connect you in with what it is you're wanting to create and sort of give you like a North Star of where you're headed in this conversation. So wherever you are, if you can, go ahead and close your eyes for a moment. And we're just going to encourage you to go inside and explore. What is your full potential picture in sex, of sex in your relationship? What is your full potential imagining of the ideal sexual experience you can imagine? Actually bring your partner to mind. If you're in a relationship, if you're not, you can bring in your imaginary future partner to mind. And just see yourselves engaging in the best sex, love, connection, and spirit in your lovemaking experience that you can imagine. Just allow yourself to see that image in your mind. And what does it look like, this ideal sexual connection? Who are you being? How are you expressing yourself? What are you doing? What is your experience in this ideal sexual experience? And how are you feeling in this ideal experience? Allow yourself to focus in on the experience you imagine you would have if your sex was like this with another person. And who is your partner being in their full potential sexual expression? and their open heart, their open body? How is your partner meeting you? How's your partner being with you? And lastly here, what is possible for the two of you in this full potential to full potential ideal sexual scenario? What is possible between you as you express yourself sexually in this way? Great. Now go ahead and take a nice deep breath as you bring yourself back into this space with your partner. And what we'd like you to do now is just take a couple of minutes each to share your full potential sexual vision.
What does it look like in this ideal picture? And what does it feel like, just as importantly, in this ideal interactions or ideal pictures that you just imagined? So yeah. One of you go ahead and start, share what you saw and how you felt. We'll very clearly call out a halftime signal when it's time to switch. If you're doing this by yourself, you can either journal it or say it out loud to yourself. Go ahead. And start wrapping up your shares, please. And if you turn your attention back over here, welcome back. So, you know, sex is a place where, well, it's another place, I guess we could say, where we tend to live more in reaction to what is than in creation towards what we want. So what's great about a visualization like this is you get to get more clear about and see a clearer picture of what it is you're trying to move towards, what it is you want to create more of. And as in every other area of life, you know, it's important to remember there's a gap. There's always a gap. We live inside a gap. There's a gap between where you are and where you would like to be. That is true whether you haven't been sexual for 20 years or if your sex is pretty damn great and you just like it to be greater still, there's a gap. There are things about sex that we would like to change and improve. And it's important to remember that our partner too has a vision that is theirs for themselves individually and for us as a couple. And we can listen to their desires like complaints, or we can use them to move from don't wants to do wants and use that. And on the flip side of that, to move as quickly as possible towards creating something that's even better, that's a match to what we really want.
Yeah, so we encourage you, actually, you could even flesh that out more than we just allowed time for, is really, what is your vision? And specifically, what is the experience you're after? Remember, anytime we want any particular form, it's because we are after a particular experience. And for those of us that want sex, and for those of us that don't want sex, for those of us who want a lot of sex or don't want as much, there's a certain experience we're after that has us stand kind of where we are, that fuels our desires. So we're going to explore here in this next little bit, and we're going to explore what the positive experience is we're after in a little bit of a different way. So how we're going to do that is I'm going to start, first of all, by reading a little piece. So this is kind of a little variation from Alison Armstrong's book called The Queen's Code. For those of you who don't know, Alison Armstrong has done a lot of work in helping men and women understand each other more. And she has done some work here around sex as well that we really like. So we're bringing this to the conversation. So what she says is, what is normal is for couples to have sex when they both want to. This is really fine in the beginning of relationship when sexual tension is high. The tension between you in the beginning gets sex started, and that is always the most difficult hurdle. But as time goes on, two people wanting sex at the exact same moment when conditions are favorable and the opportunity exists is a little like trying to line up the moon and the stars, especially since sex drives depend greatly upon hormone levels for both men and women. I believe you can't leave something as important as your sex life in the hands of something as undependable as your body's cyclical and circumstantial hormones. The modern context we have adopted for sex is one of wanting, being the cause of our sex life. Now, this is obviously an improvement over duty. It was certainly a human rights victory when women could legally refuse their husbands whenever they didn't want to have sex. But wanting to have sex is still too puny. It almost never makes sex happen often enough or reliably enough. Healthy sex lives are too important to a vital union in relationship for us to depend upon sexual desire by itself.
All right, so that's a little lead-in. And then we'll give you a piece about that is from the same source here about what sex provides for a man that's in this book and for a woman that is in this book. And it's not to say that you should feel like that or I should feel like that for that matter, but it really is great food for thought.
Well, actually, just as a little lead into this conversation, you know, when sex really is important to a relationship. And if we wait until we both want to, we don't have sex often enough.
Actually, I was just talking to a man today about that very same thing that I was coaching over the phone. And he's like, well, my wife and I, we want to have more sex. But, you know, in the everyday Tuesday night or Wednesday night or Thursday night, you know, we're looking at each other and it's like, do you want to? No, I'm not really, you know. They don't really want to, so they're expecting that they're going to look at each other and just be like, boom, turned on, zing, ready to tear off their clothes and go straight for intercourse. And that hardly ever happens to them, which has them not have sex nearly enough for either of them.
So in addition to having a vision of what it is we want to create, another really rich place to start our conversation here about sex is, why do we want it? Why does it matter? Why is it such a topic of discord in relationship? And one way to explore that is to ask the question, what does sex give us? What does sex give me as a woman? What does sex give you as a man? What does it provide? What's the experience it gives you? And what's the experience it gives our relationship? So that's what we're going to read another little piece here from Alison Armstrong, where one man is talking about what sex gives to him. And then we'll share also what women have said, and then we'll give you an opportunity to explore this yourself.
Yeah. So here, this man says, his name's Mike. He says, physically, the act of sex fills a need, a hunger, a distracting ache that grows unbearable over time. The hunger grows more slowly as I get older, granted, taking days instead of hours, but it's still a strong physical need, that strong yearning to feel her and frankly to be inside of her. There's also the release that comes with climax. When all the tension that's built up in my body over time floods out of me, leaving my body spent and relaxed. Like someone pushed a reset button. I can't prove it, but I swear intercourse supplies essential nutrients that can't be found in any food or beverage. It gives me the fuel to be a man, to be protective and to provide for her. Without it, I'm inevitably emasculated. Emotionally, sex is the one time when I can let go. I don't have to be careful or conceal myself. I'm not on guard. I can be vulnerable and it's okay. When those small, soft hands touch my shoulders, my back, my face, I am moved beyond words. When she gives herself to me, I melt. As I hold her and feel her holding me, all of me, I feel safe. I can just be. Almost everything great about sex depends on her name's Karen, on Karen feeling secure with me and letting herself experience my love for her in this way. When she surrenders to me and lets me give her pleasure, my entire spirit is altered. I'm lifted to another dimension and the boundaries blur. I flow into her, and sometimes I feel her flowing into me. Afterwards, the connection I feel to her nurtures me for days. Truly, I'm not exaggerating. That is what sex provides for me. All of that, and there's no substitute. Nothing even comes close.
So that is one man's portrayal of what sex provides. And I will say we have actually had many, many conversations with men talking about what sex provides, and it is mind-boggling and mind-altering, actually, to hear from men, just like Mike here was talking about in this little piece we read from Alison Armstrong's book, Queen's Code, is how much sex allows them to relax, settle, open, feel loved.
Feel like a man, feel like I can get out of my head, feel like I don't have to be in control of everything and know everything. And it connects me to a softer side of love that I probably don't connect to in any other way. It's like it connects me to the colors and softness and texture and tactileness of life through her, with her. And certainly if our experience is anything to go by, and we've, in our sex workshops, we've had hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of both men and women get to listen to each other as they explore what sex gives. And I'll tell you what Mike shares here is pretty close to being representative for what lots and lots of men say sex provides for them.
So here's what women have said. So this is a piece again from Queen's Code. A woman is saying, sex makes me physical. When you touch me for an extended length of time, I get in my body, inch by inch, caress by caress, tingle by tingle. My body wakes up and becomes alive and vital. You make me feel beautiful. When you're inside of me, every time I'm surprised at how it feels. I'm whole. I'm home. And the darndest thing is that I can never remember that feeling for more than a few minutes afterwards. If I did, you would never be lacking for sex. On the other hand, if I could remember it, you might not have time to work. I can be kinder, wiser, and more generous when I'm having sex regularly. I feel more feminine and useful, more silly and more serene. Sex makes me more myself. Sex reestablishes my sexual connection with you. So when I have sex, I feel open, I feel wholehearted, I feel in love, I feel giving. It's almost like I get to feel the very best of myself. You know, this open, like I get to feel like I'm love itself. I'm totally present in the moment. It's the one time when all of the distractions of the world sort of fall away, and I get to just be in the moment, and I get to be in pleasure and all things good. I feel really fulfilled and satisfied and at peace and connected. And I also have the experience, and it'd be great to talk a little bit about what we give, you know, what we get to experience together, but we really feel synced up. You know, it's almost like everything flows better when we're sexual, you know, with each other.
Yeah, totally. It's like life simply works better. We had a man at one of our last sex workshop who said, he was a man who works in a big corporation and he has a team of, I don't know, dozens of people that he manages. And he said, kind of with a smile, but also seriously, he said, my staff knows when my sex is working out well. Because I don't want to admit it, but it's true that when I don't get to do this, I'm just not a very good manager. I get snippy and crappy and short with people. But when we do have this connection, talking about him and his partner, it's like I'm way more patient and well-rounded, and things don't get to me as much. And I totally share that. Like I am generally well, just more balanced with you and with me. And I know we had another young couple who said, if we don't have this for an extended period of time, we always know when it's time to do something about it because we can't do a high five and actually hit each other. We always miss. So there is something that it syncs us up both spiritually, physically, emotionally, and with our minds. And we operate like a well-oiled unit.
I really like this idea of it being a reset button. It's like it aligns us with the best of ourselves and the best of each other. It helps us remember who we are and kind of taps us in again to that place where we fell in love and where we loved each other. So we want to give you a chance to explore this for yourself, because it's a very rich and deep conversation to understand what is really behind our desire for sex. What does it give to us and our relationship? And I will say, you know, sometimes there's a big makeup out there that men are the ones that want it and women are the ones that don't. And that is not necessarily true at all. For a lot of women, sex is also just as essential and just as important. And if we're not wanting to have sex, it's because there's a certain experience we aren't wanting, or that is, you know, there's just the structure of life that's getting in the way of us making it a priority. So we encourage both of you to take a couple of minutes each here. We've got two questions that we'll ask you. So the first one, we'll do one at a time, is what does sex provide for you and your relationship? And you can use what we've shared with you so far as kind of a launching pad for yourself. What does sex provide for you? What does it give you? What's the experience it opens for you? And how does it impact how you are in relationship out in the world as a parent?
Yeah, so we'll give you each about 1 to 2 minutes each. One of you go ahead and start. We'll give you a halftime signal and we will disappear for a second to not distract you. Go ahead. And here we got a second question for you that we'd like you to explore. So back to the first person who was sharing, and we'll disappear ourselves in a moment. The second question is that's not what I meant to do. There you go. Is what happens when you don't have sex? When you don't get to partake in the sexual interaction, either way you define it, by the way, sexual interaction. What happens when you don't have sex for you individually and for you, for your relationship? So first person, your turn. We'll call out a halftime signal. Go ahead. And turn your attention back here. Thank you, and good job so far.
I want to say what's rich and deep about that conversation, which is really helpful in a conversation about sex, is when Christian asks me to have sex, or when he initiates sex with me, I know it isn't just a physical thing. You know, it's not like he just wants to do that, you know, which is kind of how I used to listen to that, you know, before I kind of got more educated. So now when Christian asks me to have sex, I know what he's asking for is to connect and to line up and to feel loved and to reset us back to connection, to drop into pleasure, to relax, to let go, to immerse himself in me and the feminine and softness, to bring color back to his world, to reunite.
Like, it's so much bigger than just he's just wanting to get off using me to do his thing. And the same is true for if I'm tired and I need to get up at 5:30 and Sonica is really wanting sex and connection at night, I know now that it's not like I might have assumed earlier. It's not just that she's trying to nag me and want stuff from me. It's that really what she's trying to accomplish with that, why she's reaching out, is to get back to this experience of feeling united in love, of getting out of her head, for us to join in that purest spiritual, blissful state where all is well and where we feel lined up afterwards, synced up, put back together in a way that has our life work out better. Oh, that's really what she's wanting when she's reaching out for sex and physical connection.
Yeah, and so when either of us is asking, right, or it's like we're inviting the other person to remember how important this is, like we gotta do, you know, so there's a richness to the asking that's behind every request. And that's what's so great about exploring what sex gives. And if you can, if you have an opportunity to do this with friends, I'll tell you, it might be a little weird, but to hear from other men what sex gives, especially us women, to hear from other men what sex gives them, and to get that, oh God, it's not just our partner, right? It's all men have a similar experience, and same vice versa.
Yeah.
So if you have some friends you could do that with, like, can we just ask you a question? Like, what is sex give? And explore, because it really is mind opening.
Yeah, hopefully you got to see just doing it with each other just now that it busts stereotypes and assumptions so fast. And when you get to hear it from more men and more women, you'll see that, wow, man, the stereotypes we used to hold that, you know, men just want to get their rocks off and women just want to talk and have connection, are, you know, there's such a minuscule fraction of the whole picture of what we're really wanting when it comes to sex. And then there's, of course, the flip side of it, which is what happens for us, to us, with us, when we don't get to enjoy it for whatever reason. If we're prohibited from it, we can't make it happen, or we just forget because we get in the habit of not, then what happens? That is just as rich of a conversation, and you'll see that it's not just that, oh, you know, I feel a little grumpy. It's a lot deeper what it does to us when we don't get to enjoy that. And here, we want to show you a quote that really struck me as being of great precision from this is from Dr. Kerner, who's a PhD and a sex therapist and an author of several books on sex. He said, "Sex seems to be rapidly falling to the bottom of America's to-do list. But in my experience, when couples stop having sex, their relationships become vulnerable to anger, detachment, infidelity, and ultimately divorce," or we would add breakup. "I believe that sex matters. It's the glue that keeps us together. And without it, couples become good friends at best, or bickering roommates at worst."
So we're not going for that. So that's
we're not going for that.
So that's why we're having this conversation. Now, I want to say here, when we said earlier, right, that most of us wait until we want to, and unfortunately, when we both want to and everything else is lining up, sex doesn't happen as often as is really good for us or is good for our relationship.
I'm sorry. If you have children who still live in your house, that is often, you know, one of the things we tell ourselves, and that genuinely make it difficult to find a time where all, you know, the schedule is clear, the kids are asleep, everything's quiet and put away. It makes it darn near impossible sometimes to have that time.
So we've got to, instead of waiting until we want to, which clearly doesn't work for most of us, is instead to make it a priority and to somehow inspire wanting. So I kind of liken sex in some ways to exercise, right? It's good for me to go exercise and I almost never feel like it. You know, it's good for me to eat good and, you know, the time it takes to make a home-cooked meal, like I don't always feel like it. But I do it anyway because it's good for me to do.
And every time you do, you get to reap genuine benefits and harvest. You know, every time I go work out and I'm complete, I feel rejuvenated and alive. My muscles feel better. My body feels better. It's like I got infused with life again. And afterwards, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's totally worth it. What was I thinking?
And same as with exercise, it's an appropriate metaphor, is when we haven't been exercising for a long time and then we finally get going, it's a little harder. It's even the longer it's been, the harder it is to get started. And the same is true for sex, right? If we haven't been sexual for a very long time, it can be really awkward and uncomfortable to get started again. You know, there's low sexual tension, there's low motivation, there's low desire. And so if we wait until we want to, just like that couple you were talking about, right? It's like, God, we want to.
But also they do what many couples do. Since when I look over, if here it is nighttime and it's kind of that time, and I look over at you and I'm like, do you want to go have sex? And we're like, no, not really. And, you know, neither of us at that moment are like turned on and feeling it. Really, their conclusion is, as many couples conclude, oh, well, that's not happening. That's, you know, we don't actually want to. And, you know, even worse, like this man I was talking to, he was going down the road of, wow, well, when we don't want to like that, it's got to mean that either I'm screwed up, we're screwed up, we're incompatible now, and like all going all the way out in his mind to, wow, I wonder if we should really be together, which turns it into a pretty painful endeavor because all of a sudden there's so much at stake.
And we don't necessarily do that about exercise, right? Like, oh my God, what's wrong with me that I don't exercise and I don't want to exercise? And we don't go into therapy to try to figure out, like, how come I don't want to exercise, right? So it's appropriate for us to look at what does it take to inspire us to want to go exercise, to eat well, to have sex, to do the things that make us feel good and that contribute to the connection of our relationship.
Yeah.
So what we're going to talk about here next are some ideas we have for how to inspire wanting, to how to support you to get over the hurdle of not feeling like not feeling like it, basically.
Yeah. And use this as a gateway. Each one of these is a gateway to have more, better sex, to actually get more of it happening.
So the first thing is what we talked about in the first class session, which is to feed each other's full potential. See each other great and speak it. You know, it is a really powerful aphrodisiac. You know, when I say what I love about you and how great and how, like, no, this is something I do with Crystal all the time. I'm like, oh God, you're such a man. And I love your muscles. And oh, he loves the hair on your face. He always leaves a little facial hair on there for me. It's like, oh, he's such a man. And you know, you can like, he lights up and it also creates a little sexual energy between us. Just doing a little bit of appreciation, like, I just love how you know, you took care of me this weekend. You made sure there was tons of wood. I just love having a man who takes care of me like that.
And are you? And it doesn't mean you have. So when we see and feed each other's full potential, that doesn't mean you have to sit down and do the whole full potential meditation. So like Sonica said, it just happens on the flow of the day. Sonica came home today with from the hairdresser, and I'm like, Sonica, that is a sexy haircut. You look snazzy. It's a 10-second interaction, but it has a little activity going. Basically, what I'm doing is seeing her in her best, most powerful, most brilliant, most beautiful.
And I'll tell you, it's a really great way to do foreplay. You know, often we think of foreplay as limited to bodies in the bedroom, but foreplay is really creating this whole atmosphere of connection and love and appreciation and attraction, and that can happen from feeding each other's full potential, appreciating what you love and appreciate about each other, which is what we were doing at the beginning.
Right, which is what the second idea we have is just that, connection and foreplay all day, every day. Basically, don't ever stop it. One way you can get started is you can think about, if you can remember, well, what did we used to do when we just met, when we were still courting? What did we do? And simply begin to do some of those things. Oh yeah, I remember I was touching you a whole lot. When we watched television, I would, instead of sitting in opposite sides of the room, I would be on top of you, or you would be on my lap and I have my arms wrapped around you. Connection really matters for sex. Not necessarily an equal measure for both of you or for men or women, but it matters. And you can be almost pretty damn sure that it matters a lot to at least one of you, if not both of you. And the connection you create during the day, we talked about it last time where we called it touch points or connection points. The connection points you create during the day, even if it's a text when we're in separate locations or at work, or if it's those little, oh, stop you in the middle of the hallway and smooch on you for 10 seconds, those are all foreplay. Every single one of them you can consider foreplay. And one of the reasons it's often hard for us to get started come, you know, 10 o'clock on a Tuesday night is we haven't done any of that. So there's nothing moving between us. There's nothing moving and happening during the day that tells us, hey, we're sexual beings. We're not just automatons walking around with a head that is doing tasks, fulfilling obligations, taking care of business. We are lovers. You know, we are physical sensing beings. So let's play that out all day, every day. You know, over she's peeling potatoes, come up behind her and just put my hands on her belly and go, touch, connecting points all day, every day.
And communication. So for a lot of women, communication, having a conversation, an intimate conversation about something, releases oxytocin, which is the bonding hormone. That is why you hear, you know, that stereotype out there that women like to talk and connect and men like to have sex. And there's definitely a ton of overlap there. And the grain of truth to it is that women feel really connected and bonded to someone that they have a conversation with because of the oxytocin bonding hormone being released. And men often feel more emotionally connected to someone when they've had sex. So that is another way to have foreplay. You know, you have a little intimate evening together, ask each other a question. You know, if I really knew you, what would I know about you? Or, you know,
why does sex matter to you? What does sex give you? What do you like about it? What's great about it? What's your best sexual experience? What's your most embarrassing sexual experience? What was your first sexual experience?
Yeah, ask questions like that so that you're getting to know each other. One of the qualities of bringing sex alive is bringing in a little bit of mystery about your partner. And one way to create that little bit of mystery is ask questions like you don't already know your partner and exploring areas you haven't explored before.
Yeah.
So foreplay all day, every day.
All day, every day. Don't ever stop.
Now, here's a really good one as well. Know your signals for being sexual. How do you initiate sex? Sometimes if we don't know what our own signals are or what our partners are, we can miss each other's signals. We can miss each other's invitations. You know, there was one woman who thought she was being rejected for 8 years because her husband never recognized her sexual initiation signals. He thought she was just being friendly. Another woman thought her husband was always initiating sex, misinterpreting his desires to snuggle and be close and make out as a sexual advance. So it's important to decide ahead of time, like, how do you initiate sex? Here's how I initiate sex.
Now, I've told you before, before we started looking at this for ourselves, I didn't have a clue. The first time I heard that question, I'm like, I don't know. I just do, I guess. You know, I have to look at how do I actually initiate sex? What do I do when that's what I'm trying to communicate here?
And for some people, it's verbal. And for some people, it's more of a physical thing. Like I know for me, you know, one of the ways I initiate sex is I just start, you know, grabbing him and kissing him passionately. Like that's how I express my desire to be sexual.
Yeah, and sometimes it could be a certain thing. Sometimes it's, I know some Sonica will sometimes do this. She'll just put on a really lovely looking thing before we go to bed. That's one way. Many years ago, I lit a candle, Eddie, that's on our head-up board on the bed as a, hey, let's not go to sleep. Let's make out. And that has since become kind of one of our things. So, you know, I light the candle. Not that necessarily means that we're going to have sex, but it means, hey, let's not go to sleep. Let's make out.
That is one of your signals. You know, another woman that I'll share about too, she decided that she wanted to give her husband for his birthday a way to have sex. You know, she was like, you know, I really want to, I never give him as much sex as he would like. So she gave him 48 beads. And she actually wrote a book about this called 48 Beads. And she gave him a bowl. And they had an agreement between the two of them that when he wanted sex, he would put a bead in the bowl. And then she kind of had an agreement with herself that she would make herself available within a 24-hour period to be sexual with him. And they loved it so much that they just kept the ritual going long past the 48 beads. And so I guess he has an endless supply now. Sure. But it was a really great way for them to initiate sex with each other, for him to communicate that he wanted to be sexual and for her to receive the invitation, the request, and be able to respond appropriately. So that can be another really great conversation to have with each other is how do you initiate? And then how do you like to be initiated too?
Yeah, what works for you? When your partner wants sex, in your best case scenario, how would he or she tell you? Or would he or she just not tell you and simply just pull you into bed and start right in? Or would you like to be read a poem or have a cup of tea made for you or be caressed for half an hour or who knows what? It's different for everybody. What would you like? How would you like to be initiated? And then a related but separate point is what are your, what we call quick starts or kick starts? So, you know those things that just revs you up from 0 to 60 in no time. So, for example, Sonica will sometimes, when we're coming into bed, she'll sometimes simply put her hand on my cock, just like that. And that just like works like magic, okay? I'm like, zing, ready.
Or going down on her.
Yep. That totally works. What I will do the other way, you can tell me if I'm right about this, but that works for Sonica, is just, you know, simply just grabbing her with, you know, with great physical presence, either just like so and begin to kiss her passionately or simply just pull her into bed. Like, hey, we're going that way. And in case you can't see, I'm pointing in the direction of our bedroom. We're going this way. I'll just, no talking really. I'll just with my physical presence initiate the whole motion.
Another way he quick starts me is he'll just lay on me. Like, you know, there's, I really discovered that sometimes when I am asked, you know, do you want to have sex? You know, it kind of throws me in my head and then my head answers. You know, it's like, well, not really. You know, I kind of go through the whole, like, But when I'm thrown into my body, like when he just lays on top of me and just starts, you know, I can, or how he was just described, like, yeah, just feeling his energy, his body, it puts me in my body and gets me out of my head. And so when he lays, just kind of comes over and lays on me and looks at me and touches my face and starts kissing me, that quick starts me.
Yeah, and you'll know, it's really important to notice that. Whereas we can certainly use our minds and imaginations, excuse me, for a great purpose in sex, like imagining things that produces a lovely feeling. Doing a full potential visualization is something we do in our imagination, but it produces a great feeling. It's important to remember that where sex and pleasure live is here. It's in this physical apparatus is where we feel everything that's great about sex. And it's through experiencing the pleasure in my physical body, in your physical body, sometimes it even opens up to, you know, higher realms of connecting with spirit. But it always happens through the pleasure of feeling this in our bodies. So when Sonica says sometimes, when if I just ask her, you know, on Wednesday night after we've been working all day, I say, hey, do you want to have sex? It's easy for it to land like, you know, it's just another thing that she has going in her mind about stuff that needs to happen. It's just another thing. And no, honestly, I don't need another thing. Get in our bodies. So that works for us too. Those are quick starts. So when I lay on top of her or just, oh, that's a quick start.
You know, another quick start that I'll share, I've never shared this. I can't even believe I'm going to say this on a video here, but I'm just being totally transparent, is, you know, there's a lot of women out there have said that they really like a lot of foreplay, you know, before they're willing to have intercourse, for example, right? They need to get really turned on first. And I'm kind of the opposite. Like, I really love him coming inside of me, and that is what turns me on. You know, it's kind of the other way around. So sometimes him just having a heart on and being close to me is like, you know, it's like I just want him inside, and so I can build with him being inside of me. So that's a pretty big important difference than a lot of people have out there. So it's really important to communicate with each other about what do you like and what works and what turns you on fast and what turns you on slow and how do you initiate and what do you like. So we want to give you a chance now to explore that with each other.
That is exactly right. So here, we're going to put it up on the slide here. So first, once again, why don't you take turns? Simply, how do you initiate sex? What are your signals that you put out to your partner when you want sex? Why don't you go first? Other, we'll give you a halftime signal. We'll disappear ourselves here. while you do the exercise.
And don't assume you know. So really explore, because sometimes often people are kind of surprised, like, really? That's
yeah, amazing. Totally. All right. One of you go ahead and start. Go ahead. All right. So here we're going to add one more thing that we want you to explore as you see up here on the slide. What turns you on? So what are your quick starts? What can someone or your partner do that just works for you? You know, it just turns you on, revs you up from 0 to 60 in no time, and has your juices flow. What is that for you? So first person, your turn again. We'll give you a halftime signal once again. Go ahead. And then turn your attention back here, please.
So I want to acknowledge that was a very fast conversation to have about something you could spend quite a bit of time on. So we encourage you to revisit this conversation and actually practice some of those things. You know, just like last session, we talked about, you know, the healthy masculine and sort of, you know, the pushing up against the wall. Like, that's a quick start for me. That could be a quick start for some of you as well. And it's really useful to kind of practice those and try them out. Like, oh, wow, that really does work. Or, you know, that wasn't quite it. Will you try it this way? You know, and play with it.
Yeah. As with anything we teach you in this course, it's only good for anything if you actually also do it after you're done watching it.
Yeah, so practice. Talk some more about that and practice, really. That's a very good thing to get good at.
Yeah, only essential and mandatory. All right, so hey.
Well, because it will inspire wanting, right? It'll have you want to. That's the purpose of it, is to support you to want to.
Cool. So here, when we talk about how to initiate sex, there's another thing that's really important, and that is when I go to initiate sex, every time I do, or every time you do, or she does, I'm taking a risk. You know, it's kind of vulnerable and risky to put myself in those shoes, to put myself in that position where she could say no. Every time you do, there is a risk of getting a no to that. It's particularly if we've had, say, we've been together for a long time and, you know, our sex hasn't quite been working out like we wanted it to, and we've had, you know, some run-ins about that. Every time I get a no that doesn't feel very good, it's harder still to put myself in those shoes next time. So the next thing we'll put up here on the slide is how to receive, or to receive, each other's advances and bids. Well, we have in parentheses here, to be a yes, sort of as a ground position. And notice that advances and bids can show up in many ways. Sometimes they're brilliantly and eloquently and seductively and beautifully executed. And, you know, sometimes not. Sometimes I feel kind of vulnerable and clumsy about it, but I still take the risk to do so. However it comes out, verbally or non-verbally, it's really important for the receiver of it to receive the good intention behind my bid or behind my advance. So if it's me initiating, for her to simply say,
thank you for wanting to have sex with me.
Thank you so much for wanting to have sex with me. And thank you for taking the risk to ask. That's wonderful you want that.
And this is true for any bid. You know, they've actually done research to show that successful relationships are those where partners receive and appreciate and meet each other's bids. You know, so that includes me coming over to him wanting to show him something on my cell phone.
Yeah,
right?
That's a bid.
Something that somebody read that I want to read to him.
Or I'm watching a basketball game and somebody slam dunks it amazingly and I'm like, did you see that slam dunk? And she might not give a hoot about basketball, but it's still a bid that says, hey, want to step into my world for a second? She can either say, that's stupid, I don't care about that stupid game, that just rejected my bid. Or she can say, wow, that was pretty cool. Just like that.
So it's essential that we look for, notice, and meet and receive each other's bids. And that is no less important than in a sexual initiation. Now, there's another piece I want to bring out here, which is that, you know, I, as I did some more thinking about this, when we are in a monogamous relationship and you want to have sex with me and I say no, I put you in a certain way in an integrity bind, right? Because here you are, you're having this desire for expressing yourself. And we are agreeing that the only place you can express that is here in our relationship. But no, you can't do that. I put you in a bind of now having to decide, well, what do I honor here? Do I honor my desire? Do I honor our agreement? Do I honor you and your lack of desire, your no here?
It's like I have to betray something to feel happy and good and in integrity with myself, which puts me in a bind or vice versa.
And while that might be fine here and there as a regular diet, it can be really damaging to a relationship. And as that other quote we read said, it kind of sets us up to feel, to be disconnected, to eventually want to seek it elsewhere if it looks like I can't get it met here, or to resort to fantasy or porn or some other outlet that might be less desirable. So one of the things that Christian and I really endeavor in our relationship, it's a little bit like that 48 beads, which is that when one of us wants to be sexual, we use that, again, we kind of listen to it like, oh, wow, you're inviting us to provide for our relationship in all the ways that we already have talked about earlier. So it's inviting me not only to take care of you, but to take care of myself and our relationship. And we endeavor to be a yes to each other as often as possible. And if for whatever reason we are a no for now, we've got to get up early, we're really tired, you know, whatever might be going on for us, we often make ourselves available the very next day. So we take our requests seriously and we have the intention to meet each other's bids with appreciation and receptivity.
Yes.
So we kind of have an intention to be a yes.
Right. All right, here. So we want you guys to try something, a little quick little exercise with each other here. And that is to play with this wanting to have sex and appreciating and taking it. So here. So one of you is going to say, you can pick one or the other of the top bullets here, the top sentences. Or say both of them. So I would simply say to Sonica, I want to have sex with you. Remembering the energy from last time, it's not a question mark, really. That first one, that doesn't have a question mark on it. It's, I want to have sex with you. And Sonica will simply say, as it says on the screen there,
thank you for wanting to have sex with me. Whether I'm a yes or a no, you know, the most important part is kind of to receive the request,
yeah.
Receive the gift.
And even if she doesn't want to have sex with me for whatever reason, it's a lot easier for me to hear that if what first comes is, thank you so much for wanting to, thanks for taking the risk to ask, then I can much easier handle her saying, no, that doesn't work for me right now, or no, I'm not in the mood, or whatever.
Same thing, too. I'll just tie this into what we were talking about earlier, is when we have a climate of yes, it's much easier for him to hear me say no, knowing that the yes is around the corner. Like there was a yes right. Last time, there's going to be a yes soon. He's more open to hearing my no in the moment. He's totally accepting of it, more likely to do so because there's a climate of yes. So thank you is kind of a way of saying yes, like thank you for wanting that with me.
So here, one of you go first and one of you simply say one or both of the two top sentences there. I want to have sex with you, or do you want to have sex with you? With me? Will you have sex with me? Other person, you simply say, thank you for wanting to have sex with me.
No and yeses or noes at this point. Just thank you.
Yep. And then switch. So just do that real quick. We'll mute ourselves here for a second. You don't have to wait for a halftime signal for us. Both of you just go ahead and do it. All right. Go ahead and stop for now. And come back over here.
So we recommend that as a regular practice. Now that you know your sexual signals, anytime your partner initiates sex, be sure to thank them for that risk. For whether you want to or not, start with a thank you. Now, there's one other piece that we want to bring out here, which is really essential. So you remember from the gift of conflict, we talked about coming up with win-win solutions, right? It's like, okay, I want to have sex, I don't want to have sex. How can we make that work? Because it looks like at the level of form, we're either having it or we aren't. And I remember when we were working with one couple, they were in the same dilemma, right? She wanted to have sex once a week. He wanted to have it 2-3 times a week. And it looked like they, you know, somebody was losing there. And so as we started getting creative here about, okay, we both want to have sex and we both don't want to have sex. We want to make sure that all of our desires are taken care of here. How can we have sex and not have sex? And they started getting really creative, like, well, if you want to have sex and I don't, there are many ways we can play with that. We can have a quickie in the shower where I jerk you off. I could go down on you. I could just touch you. You could masturbate while I'm there holding you or kissing you. Like, there are so many different creative ways we could come up with here for how for you to be sexual and for me not to have sex if that is what we are both wanting.
And we have tried all of those, Sonika just mentioned. We have played with and tried out over the years in just that situation with I wanted sex and she didn't, or the other way around.
So we would encourage you to get creative about, you know, if one of you likes a certain position and the other person doesn't, what's a way you could come up with where you could do it and not do it, or do something else that gives you the experience you're after that the other person is willing to do? So keep staying in there until you come up with win-win solutions. There is always a win-win solution. And if you can't come up with one, feel free to set up a session with us and we can totally support you in getting creative, because we really say there's always a way to do that.
Yeah, so that kind of, that leads us to the last point we want to put up here on the what to do or how to inspire wanting and sex is number 6 here that you see on the slide, is actually make it a priority to have sex. And that includes, it's not just intercourse, okay? That's a conversation that takes up more space than we can cram into our little session here, but having sex is a whole lot more than just intercourse, okay? So that's why we added up, like, be physical, be affectionate, touch, have that physical naked touching component of your relationship be alive. Don't let it just go away in the, you know, in the hustle bustle of life. And, you know, you obviously, you know, the Nike commercial that says just do it. And there is some usefulness to that when we talk about sex. Particularly, you know, if you're still in a situation in your relationship and your, or your marriage where sex just happens because there's high tension and lots of attraction, great. You probably don't have to worry about that. Or if you're in the first 6 months, you probably don't have to worry about that. But often, we know from, you know, tons of people, sex kind of disappears. And in that case, it's relevant to just do it. Make it a priority.
There are some times when Christian and I are so off and we're like, you know, we really need to have sex and we really don't feel like it.
Yeah.
And we will just start.
We'll just start.
We just start and our bodies catch up and our spirits catch up, our emotions catch up. And pretty soon we are totally enmeshed and enjoying the experience. And afterwards, we are so glad we went over the hump. And part of what helps us get over the hump is knowing what it's going to be like on the other side, because we remember what sex provides for us.
Yeah.
So often it really is just start. Like, you know, I don't want to, you don't want to. And for me, it's a lot like exercise, like just get out of the frickin' door, like just start. And once I get started, momentum begins to build on its own. So often the wanting comes after we've started.
Yeah, for us, when we're in a mood like that, where it's like, we don't really want to, but we need to, frankly, it's, you know, when it's important to know that when we start out, we're not turned on. We're in a mood of, can we just go to sleep already? No, we can't, because we did that yesterday and the day before that. And we begin to feel the effects of not being synced up like that. So we don't want to just go to bed, but where we start out is, all right. And for us, where we start is we get naked. We just touch something, some body part to some body part. So there's skin against skin. Maybe we start out with a little lazy kissing.
Or breathing together.
Or breathing, or just being there quiet and, you know, quietly and touching. And it's okay if it takes a while to get anything happening. It's okay.
Stay in there. You know, the one thing that we have discovered for ourselves too, if I'm at a sink and I'm preoccupied with something, it takes me a little bit sometimes to get out of my head into my body, and same vice versa. So if Christian is initiating with me and my first impulse is like, no, I want to, if he takes that as a rejection and stops, we both lose. You know, we both don't have this get the opportunity to sink down. So it can be also really important to stay in there and give time for our partners to catch up to our desire. You know, if I want to, I've been thinking about it for a while. So I have kind of a head start advantage over my partner who hasn't had that privilege necessarily. So for me to stay in there until his body catches up, his desire catches up to mine, requires sometimes me taking a little bit of mild rejection until he gets to that place. So it can be really helpful for us to hold the vision for our partners and ourselves, frankly, when we get to those places where we're not interested and we are tired and we are preoccupied and there is a lot going on, for us to kind of keep being a stand to our partner. No, this is important. This matters. This is as important as anything else. And I'm going to stay in here. I'm definitely going to make sure I'm responsive to your no if you really don't want to, because nobody wants to be forced into anything. And at the same time, I'm going to not let it go lightly, you know, because this is essential. This really matters.
Yes. So here in a moment, we'll show you our homework suggestion for this week. And just remember that sex is important, it matters, and physical connection. Don't let it go by the wayside. Make it a priority. Find out what is your reason that's important enough to keep it going, and then make it priority to do it. Sometimes it really is just do it anyways, and have a great time and fun with as you practice that. All right, here, so we'll show you what we put up for homework practices. Simply practice generating desire and wanting with each other by using one or more of the suggestions we gave you. So we gave you five or six of them now, and there'll be a full list on the homework PDF, which you find attached to this course here.
Yeah, and there's a lot of stuff in there that we didn't actually cover material-wise here in this session. So make sure you refer to it. There's a lot of really great ideas, and it will serve as a refresher and reminder for you about what else to have more conversation about with you and your partner.
Yes. So, hey, have a good time with it. We look very forward to being with you again on the seventh session, where we're going to talk about partnership and moving from me to we. And we look really forward to that. So have fun with it till then.
This is one of those times when it's really fun homework.
When homework is really fun, that's right.
All right. All right. I'm honored to be with you. Thank you, and have fun.
We'll see you then.
The Risk Course, copyright 2016, Mankind Project USA. All rights reserved. No portion of this material may be reproduced without written permission.